See, I can yield to this too. I can yield to stop talking, and I can yield to start talking. Yeah, another synonym for yielding is surrender. We could just go on and on, you know, but you guys get the idea. Here's the body language of full yielding. See, which is why you see occasionally somebody doing that in worship. Please don't get attached to the methodologies, guys. You don't have to do anything with your body or your attitude. If you never put your hands somewhere, it won't ever matter to you and God. You'll be just as yielded if you don't move parts of your body. If you never close your eyes in your whole life, you would be just as yielded. But those things are given to us to assist us to yield. They are not in and of themselves yieldedness. Now, spiritual warfare is done in two ways. We access the spirit world by yielding. There's two halves of the spirit world. There's the Holy Spirit of God. There's the spirit of the enemy. Do we have my... Everybody have a look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. Just to give you that picture so you'll have kind of a biblical... See all the stuff you're not mature enough for yet? No, just kidding. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God. How many spirit powers do you see in that sentence, boys and girls? No, boys. Two. So how many spirit powers are there in the universe? Is this written to Christians? So can Christians yield to both? So clear, guys. Of course you can. You can sit here having worshiped, being a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, and let your mind wander while I'm talking and start and get filled with lust. Not at me, of course, but just generally speaking. I can just feel people going, no way, man. Is that true? You all know it's true. Could I say something that offended you and you could get sit here and get filled with anger? Of course. So that's another reason this is a bad illustration, because the human personality is not a one-dimensional container. And yes, you can be filled with Jesus and filled with anger at the same time. Jesus doesn't have to go out to make room for the anger. Jesus doesn't have to leave you to make room for the lust. The human personality is not a bottle. So it's all about yielding. And there are two spirit powers that we want to deal with. Now, the way we deal with the spirit world every day is, number one, by the way we live. If you're writing stuff down, write this down. The way I live every day becomes a channel for spirit power. Now, guys, that's true whether or not you know it or believe it. The way I live every day becomes a channel for spirit power. That's why it's important that we not only be a Christian, but that we learn to be Christians. Evangelism makes you a Christian. Discipleship helps you to live more Christian. And what did I say last night? People drive to work in your hometown past 14 churches every day. They know what we believe. They don't care. The only thing they care about is how you live. Most Christians think being a Christian is, I accepted Jesus and I go to church and I believe. No. This is not about the Christian faith. This is about the Christian life. That's why we have things like retreats. That's really why we have Sunday morning. It's really why we have quiet times, daily devotions. Is those are to instruct us and enable us for the Christian life. But in the West, particularly over the years, we have developed this whole thing that being Christian is doing church activities. That's not true. Being a Christian is Tuesday afternoon wherever you are. But that's been a weakness in Western Christianity. We're very Christian on Sunday morning. We're not necessarily Christian when somebody cuts us off at the intersection. So, maturity is learning to be Christian. And the reason that's important, guys, is not that just we all are nice people and get along. The reason that's important is because, A, people notice how you live, and that's your witness, and B, because the way you live channels spirit power. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, doesn't matter. Everybody in this room channels spirit power by their behavior and attitudes all day, every day. And you're either got that faucet leaning this way, or you got it leaning the other way, or you got a mixture. And of course, the reason we do deliberate things like retreats and worship times and Sunday mornings and Bible studies and all this stuff is because this is, helps us be more deliberate in yielding to the other direction. And the idea is to make that a habit. So life is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not an activity. You know, people have often said to me, we met a person who was demonized, we had to go into a time of warfare, and it was over at 4 o'clock. Not. Yes, there will be events of intense warfare. Okay, we really need to pray for this because this is happening and we got some crisis right now, and so we go into a time of warfare, into a time of intense intercession. Yes, there will be events. But spiritual warfare is more than your events. It is your whole life 24/7. There is never a time when you're not in warfare. And just like we say with ISIS, you don't get to decide to engage. They've already decided. And that's the way it is with the demonic powers. You don't get to decide whether you're going to get involved in warfare. Well, I'll go to the retreat and listen to the guy, and then after the retreat's over, I'll decide whether I want to go this direction or not. Well, no, I'm not really into that. I'm more into the music. Guys, you don't get to decide. It's already been decided. Satan knows your name. He knows your serial number. He knows your body type. And he is on your personal case. Please don't believe preachers that say Satan is only after the big guys and the important guys. No, Satan is after every human and everything that's good and true and living. Okay? Now, Satan only has one agenda, which is mess up relationships between you and God, make God hard to relate to, starting with God doesn't exist. Who do you think is responsible for that? So tries to make your relationship with God messed up. One of the main ways he's done that to Christians is to get God blamed for things God does not do. Satan is in the business of discrediting God. And every Christian that I meet, which is most of us at some time in our life, are angry at God for what he allowed. That is the very center of the spiritual warfare flood. Satan is the one who wants you to blame God for things God is not responsible for, because that makes it harder for you to relate to him or feel close to him. What happened to you in your life? I've been married to a woman for 44 years who was sexually and physically abused when she was a child. Horrible, horrible stuff. She's now become a counselor for people, particularly kids who go through that. She's very effective for obvious reasons. And often these people will come into her and they have been to a pastor or a Christian counselor who has said, all of the things that happened to you as a little kid, being sexually molested, was somehow the will of God in ways you don't understand, because God's ways are higher than our ways. Because God is in control. My wife used to come home angry so many days, and I'd say, oh, you talked to another Christian today that's been told that. What do you think those girls think of God? I could tell you the words they use for God, but none of you would understand them because you're all Christians. Oh, there are some people that understand the words. Just trying to find out where you were. They hate God. They can't trust God because they think God was compliant, if not involved. So what do you think my wife's first counsel to those girls are? God didn't want this to happen to you. He's more angry and more hurt than you are. Because if you got that much ability to be hurt by things, God has infinite ability to be hurt. And God is standing with tears rolling down his face, ready to embrace you and heal you and bind you up. And if that person can believe that, their healing starts today. But notice how evil evil is. Here's as evil as it gets. Not only has the devil stirred up and perverted the mind of some human adult to think that he can be sexual with a 3-year-old. Does everybody understand that's not just wrong? It's unintelligent. You have to suspend your intelligence to think that an adult-sized person can be sexual with a child-sized person. You can't think clearly and get there. So Satan has blinded the mind, 2 Corinthians 4. Satan has blinded the minds of every unbeliever. There's supernatural darkness, guys. That's why we are arrogant if we think we can argue our unsaved friends to Christ. Everybody have a look at that, 2 Corinthians 4:4. I got it here somewhere. The God of this world has the minds of everybody who does not believe so that they, everybody say cannot, shake your head like a preschooler, cannot. What if they wheeled somebody in here on a wheelchair right now, and what if that wheelchair was sitting here in the middle, and you saw that this person had been in an accident or a war and been blown up, and they had had to have their legs amputated below the knee? Immediately your heart goes out to the person. Imagine how horrified and angry you would be if I walked up to the person in the wheelchair and said, take some responsibility. Get up and walk for yourself and stand for yourself. Why are you having somebody push you around in that chair? You lazy person. You'd be angry and horrified. Why would it be mean and cruel for me to say that to the person in the wheelchair? Because they cannot. Guys, every unsaved person cannot. We tend to think they can and they just won't. And this implies to your unsaved kids. They cannot. So the guy in the wheelchair does not need my challenge. He doesn't need my ridicule. He needs my care and compassion. And so does every non-believer out there. It is supernatural darkness. Who do we think we are that our clever ability to explain things is going to win the day? There has to be warfare in every case. Why do we think warfare is just who has a demon? Or we found some witchcraft? No. Warfare is in every situation we do because a supernatural darkness is constantly being projected towards everybody's head. And, write it down, the only way to penetrate supernatural darkness is with supernatural light. I am arrogant if I think I can argue unsaved people to Christ. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many answers you have. I don't care how articulate you are. You are arrogant if you think as a human intelligence being you can get there. It's just like the walls of Jericho, guys. If God doesn't show up, this is not going to happen. And that is to do with your relationships, okay? So, here's a supernatural act. God, who created the sun and billions of suns, which we call stars, out of nothing, that same kind of an amazing supernatural act that created light from zip. Let there be light, God said, because evidently at one stage there was no such thing as light sources. And as the Spirit of God moved across the universe, the same Spirit of God that's in you, we don't have the Spirit of the world, we do have. Everybody say, I don't have the Spirit of the world. Now point at your chest. I do have the Spirit of God. Right there between my two lungs. No, don't say that. Do you realize how many Christians I've met who think, I hope I have the Spirit someday? We have not received the Spirit of the world. We have received the Spirit of God. You're either unsaved or the Spirit of God's in you. Raise your hand if that's too complex to remember. Isn't that cool? Okay? So, because the Spirit of God, the same one that's in you that you just pointed your chest about, moved across the universe and suns came into being out of nothing when God spoke. The Word came on the Spirit and boom, everything that didn't exist now exists. And that's the same Spirit that's in you. Okay? And God makes His light shine into our hearts. Everybody notice it's something God does? Did you see your faith just go up for all of the bad, unsaved people out there around the world that some of you have been arguing with some of them for 30 years? Giving them books to read? Aren't you glad that it's God? God makes His light shine into our hearts. Did you feel your faith go up a million miles? Because if it's God making His light shine into our heart, into their hearts, if He can make His light shine into your heart so that you're sitting here believing so easily you're almost asleep. Come on, everybody in this room is believing in God, believing Jesus is God and died on a cross for sin, etc. You're believing all that stuff so easily you're almost asleep. Well, is that because you're smarter? Is that because God loves you more? Is that because of who your mother was or where you were born or whatever? No, it's something God does. Now you immediately have faith for every human out there. Some people that you've written off saying, oh man, there's no way my uncle's ever going to receive this stuff. Well, that's because you're thinking in the natural. But when you bring the unlimited God into it, God makes His light shine into our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So every human out there is a candidate to be where you are right now because God is unlimited. Are you with me? See why we need to lean over to involve the spirit world more? Because there's supernatural darkness, and supernatural darkness can only be penetrated by supernatural light. How many of you know something and believe something now you didn't know and believe 2 years ago? Raise your hand. What were you in? A measure of darkness. And you didn't just need information. You needed supernatural revelation. Light of knowledge. Down at the university, they're given just knowledge, because education is transfer of knowledge from one brain to another brain. In here, we pray and worship before we start because we want light of knowledge. Because knowledge doesn't register without supernatural light on it, and then somebody goes, yeah, that's really true. Not because you imparted the knowledge, which you do have to do, but because the light came on it. Guys, yield to the Spirit before you open your Bible. Dangerous to open a Bible without yielding to the Spirit. Come on, guys. God is dead did not come from the atheist. It came from a seminary in Philadelphia. Studying the Bible without the Holy Spirit is dangerous. That's why Paul says to the Ephesians and the Colossians, I pray for you guys every day that you might be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Don't ever witness to anybody without crying out to the Spirit of God to bomb them. Holy Ghost, come down on these people and guide them into truth, convince them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Somebody wrote a book a few years ago that some people thought said there was no hell. So a whole bunch of books came out and a whole bunch of magazine articles and a whole bunch of blogging and stuff going, oh, this guy's a heretic because he indicated there's no hell. I was not worried. Because you know what? When the guy wrote the book that indicated there might not be an eternal punishment, probably nobody who believed there was changed their mind. And probably nobody believed there wasn't changed their mind. So when the guys wrote the books to prove there was a hell, probably the people who don't believe there is one didn't change their mind. And the people who believe there is one just were having preaching to the choir, as we say. Do you know, guys, I've been in the theological world for 50 years. My best friends are pastors. This is my group. This is my where I've circulated in the church. Somebody writes a book. Somebody else says that book is heresy. He's wrong. This church is wrong. We speak out against all these things. I've been watching this for 50 years. Raise your hand if you know somebody that's changed their theology because a book was written against them. Too bad the trees had to die to make the book. Amen? This doesn't work. Number one, because it's arrogance. We're both moving in pride. I'm right. I understand the scriptures better than you. Whoop-de-doo. My degree's higher than your degree. Guys, you can't get there on the natural road. God has made sure it won't happen, just like he stacked the deck against Israel in every battle in the Old Testament. If you won't humble yourselves and say, God, if you don't come and show me this, I won't see it. I won't understand it. We've got to enter the spirit world, guys, in everything we do, because the Holy Spirit has got to come on the imparted knowledge. That's why your pastor prays before he speaks. And if he doesn't do it formally on the platform, he's done it before he came in there. Because no matter how good of a speaker he is, no matter how scholarly his study is, it is never enough. Because we're in a warfare thing here with supernatural darkness constantly being projected. And supernatural light is the only thing that'll penetrate it. We have to function in the Spirit. We have to pray in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, function in the Spirit. Okay, I am going to get this out about relationships. What time is it? Cool. I do. Boo. No, I need that. Satan's whole agenda is bad relating. God's whole agenda is good relating. Okay? So how can I live the image every day? The image is relationship. So how do I keep tight relationship with God? Most Christians, particularly Christian men, don't think that's even possible. Well, I got a lot of failings and I'm only human and nobody's perfect. And we don't even aspire. No, you can manifest the image of God every day. That's why you were, that's how what you were created with. That was what was breathed into your mud. Of course you can. And now you've been redeemed from your fallenness, so Jesus has come to live inside of you. You got the unlimited grace of God enabling you. Of course you can manifest the image. So how do you do it? Okay, the way to maintain tight, close relationship with God all day, every day, for the rest of your life is to repent quickly and continuously and always be in faith. There, see, that wasn't so hard, was it? That's what the dentist says to you after you're through. See, that wasn't so bad. Repent quickly and continuously and always exercise faith, and you will be tight. Some people are using the word intimate with God every hour for the rest of your life. Yes, you can be there. Now, remember I said, when we live in good relationship, we rule over evil, sin, Satan, and death. When we're in bad relationship, we allow Satan to rule in our stead. Guys, that's the human condition on this planet right now. That's not theory. If you look at tonight's news or look at the news on the internet, you will see evil, bad stuff happening all over this planet. What is it? Bad relating. All of the evil on this planet are in proportion to bad relating. So, of course, that's what we need to focus on is good relating. So, first of all, how can I maintain a tight relationship with God? Repent quickly and continuously. Now, where do I get this? Everybody have a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. I'm going to quote it to you for the sake of time. When you're angry, do not sin. Well, you just found out that not all anger is sin. Anger is a human quality that came from God's life. God gets angry. But God never sins. The reason that's hard for us to find out that God gets angry is because most of the anger that you and I have experienced that was hurtful to us was selfish anger. Everybody say anger? Anger. It's not bad. Selfishness is bad. Because see, the holy God gets angry. So anger is not bad. So here we have Ephesians 4:26. When you're angry, don't sin. So you can be angry and not sin. Like be angry at sin. God is angry at sin every day, the Bible says. It's okay to be angry at injustice. It's okay to be angry when you hear children have been molested. It's okay to be angry about refugees not being let into the, Christian refugees being let into the United States of America. It's okay. God wants you to be angry, so to give you impetus. Why did God make the human personality so that it has such an ability to be angry if it's a bad thing? Don't try to get rid of it. Channel it. Just don't be selfish with your anger. So here we have the wonderful scripture that says, be angry but don't sin. So immediately in our minds is, well, how do I know when my anger becomes sinful? He tells us. I love the Bible because it not only gives you the question, it gives you the answer. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, I love God, guys, because he's absolutely just. There's not a human on the planet in history that doesn't understand sundown. Primitive people in the Amazon jungle understand it. Triple PhD from Harvard University understands it. Vanderbilt, sorry. Got to be careful here. Yeah. God is so just, guys. There's no age group that doesn't understand sundown. Everybody gets it. Now, here's the two things everybody knows about sundown. Number one, it happens quickly. No matter where you are on the 24-hour clock, sundown is only X hours away. It's never 25. The furthest away sundown can be is 24 hours. So it happens quickly. So repent quickly. Don't leave sin there. It's talking about anger in this context, but you could put lust in there, you could put bitterness. And by the way, anger is the point of the arrow to almost every other sin. Because you know what another word for sin is? Broken relationship. Guys, you're not compromising if you don't use the word S-I-N. Sin is simply bad relating. I want everybody in this room to think of a word in your language for sin. I'm not telling you to meditate on the sin. I'm just meditate on a word for sin, like stealing, lying, whatever. Has everybody got a word in your mind? Let me tell you what's in every mind in this room. Some form of bad relating. Because that's what sin is. You can say sin, or you can just say bad relationship, or lack of love. If you go out to somebody who says, well, I don't even believe in sin. I'm not a religious person, so don't use those words on me. Say, okay, lack of love. They're immediately interested. What's righteousness? Just a religious word for good relationship with God and with each other. Can everybody see how simple this is? Okay, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Sun going down means, number one, it's quick. Number two, it happens every night. Repent quickly and continuously. That keeps tight relationship with God. And always exercise faith. There's huge amounts of examples of this. Probably the best one is Job. Everything Job went through is like symbolic of what all of the kinds of things that you and I go through in our lives. What happens to us? What happens to our society? And through all of that, the way Job won the spiritual warfare victory over the enemy. Does everybody understand spiritual warfare was going on there? Job chapter 1, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord to afflict Job. Who afflicted Job? It wasn't God. Job had to think it was God because it wouldn't have been a true test if he'd have known it was an attack of the enemy. We get the luxury of reading the book of Job, so we know it wasn't God. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord to afflict Job. This is a spiritual warfare picture, guys. How did he win? He complained a lot. He goes, I don't know what's going on. He didn't lose faith in God. He said, I know my Redeemer lives, and this is not the final chapter. He's going to redeem this. How in the world did that guy know God was a Redeemer hundreds of years before the cross? Never read a Bible, never had a missionary, never been to a meeting with worship. And he knew God was a redeemer by nature. God will not leave me here. I know my redeemer is alive and he is gonna write another chapter for the end of this thing. Even if he kills me, I will still trust him. Victory over Satan comes by keeping strong faith in God regardless. That's why the book of Job's taking up so much space in your Bible. So repent quickly and continuously. Now, here's the spiritual warfare part. If we live in good relationship, we rule. If we don't, Satan is able to rule in our place. Verse 27, Ephesians 4, written to Christians. Don't let the sun go down on your anger because it gives place, opportunity, foothold to the devil. Why is this so hard for us, guys? The Holy Bible, writing to Christians for a couple of thousand years, has been saying, if you have bad relationship with God, it's a hole in the wall for the enemy to mess with you. So don't let the sun go down on it. We close the doors here at 5 o'clock. If you don't get here to buy your groceries before 5 o'clock, you're not going to get any groceries because that's our closing time, guys. Do that with your life. Don't let the sun go down on anything between you and God. And you can maintain a tight unity and relationship with God. Okay, what about this one? How do you keep tight relationship with others? Forgive quickly and continuously. And always function in humility. Write it down, guys. Two humble people cannot fight. There's never been a conflict between two humble people. They may disagree, but relationships here are not being best friends and agreeing on everything. Relationships here is defined as honoring, valuing, caring for, serving. You're not going to be best friends with everybody, and you're certainly not going to agree with everybody. We're going to go to heaven disagreeing, and then you're all going to find out I was right the whole time. Don't think relationship is agreeing on everything. We will never agree on everything. Just look at the different cars we got out there. Look at the different clothes we got on here. We have different uniquenesses, okay? Now, where is this in the scripture? Matthew 18. Peter comes to Jesus. How many times can a man sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? That was under the Jewish law. Jesus said, hey, Peter, new regime. It's no longer seven times, it's 70 times seven, which is the cultural and religious equivalent in that day to, I've told you 100 times not to go there. I've told you 1,000,000 times. See, that's our cultural way of saying, I have continually told you. We don't really count to 100 or 1,000,000. We just say, hey, that's our way to emphasize, I've been telling you not to do that. That was 70 times 7 in that culture of the New Testament. So, forgive 70 times 7 means continually. Never stop, never stop, never stop. Well, I finally forgave my father back in 2006. Yeah, but you got to thinking about it last night. And you're re-bittered. Does everybody understand this? The Bible talks about the Christian life in eternal state. I'm saved eternally. But the Bible also talks about, in the next verse, Christianity in sequence. How to walk through the sequence of 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, February, March, April. We live in a sequence. So we have the armor on here. We have to put the armor on here. It's both. Because this is the eternal state in Christ. This is walking through the sequence. So keep forgiving. 70 times 7. Forgive quickly. Forgive continually. Then this, Jesus tells a story. A servant comes to the master. Owes a debt he can never pay. And he asks for mercy. The master says, okay, I forgive you of your debt. He goes out, finds a fellow servant that owes him a little tiny debt. He asks for mercy, and the guy says, no, I won't. Has him thrown into prison. And then the master hears about it and says, you wicked servant. I forgave you the big debt. Is everybody seeing how this applies to you? The debt you can't pay that you were forgiven of by God. And you go out to your fellow human being and have a hard time struggling to forgive them when God's forgiven you something you could never pay. And did it easily. He longs to be gracious to us. He has plenteous mercy, full of compassion, abounding in loving kindness. God is never reluctant to forgive. He is so ready to forgive you, he's ready to forgive you before you do it. So forgive people that readily. And guess what? His mercies are new every morning. So should yours be. Don't carry something against somebody to the next day. So forgive quickly and continuously, and always exercise humility. That maintains tight relationship with others, and we can do it, you guys. That doesn't mean they're going to like us. The Bible does talk about enemies, and you can do everything you can to reconcile relationships, and if the other side is unwilling. Now, here's the spiritual warfare part where they come together. Jesus, after telling this story about the servants and the master and forgiveness, says, "So will my heavenly Father bless you if you will forgive from the heart. And if you won't forgive from the heart, you will be turned over to the tormentors." What's that? That's demonic power, guys. Again, written to followers of Jesus. Now, if you've ever dealt with people who are demonized or talked to somebody who has been in this kind of a ministry, you will find that at least 80% of people who have demonic bondages, the open door was unforgiveness. Most of our fleshly indulgences, being sexual with the wrong people, or even lusting, including pornography, drinking, smoking, and drugs, and all of these fleshly indulgences, things that comfort my flesh, that almost every human struggles with some kind of that. And we focus on that, trying to get rid of that. Guys, the impetus and the root system for most fleshly indulgences is unforgiveness and bitterness. So deal with the root and you'll be able to stop smoking or whatever it is. Don't just try to stop smoking and keep that root system open. Deal with the root, and then fleshly indulgence sometimes just lose their power. Guys, keep good relationships with God, keep good relationship with others, and you will keep the enemy out. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Lord, for these dear ones, and thank you, Father, for my opportunity to be with them. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will collect the things that have been said. Not every guy is going to get everything, and that's not your intention anyway. Take, Lord, what really is helpful to the path of each individual in this room and shine the light, the supernatural light, on their path, where they're at on that path, as of the 23rd of April. In Jesus' name, amen.